The private dining room at the Connaught is silent, save for the hum of the climate control. Julian is leaning forward, his hands open on the white linen, a gesture of total, calculated vulnerability. He has just spent 5 minutes dismantling his own ego in front of the board. "I was monstrous," he says. He doesn't look away. His eyes are a flat, expensive gray. "I let the pressure of the merger cloud my judgment. I cost you a week of sleep, and I nearly cost this firm its most brilliant mind." I feel the eyes of the four directors on me. They are holding their breath, their forks suspended. This is the moment I was supposed to demand my severance. I was supposed to walk. But Julian has apologized before I could even find my voice. To leave now, after he has groveled so elegantly, would be ungentlemanly. It would be a social suicide I can't afford. Julian reaches for the teapot. The silver spoon hits the saucer. Clink. It's a bright, surgical sound. He pours my tea first. He doesn't ask how I take it. He remembers. 2 sugars. He pushes the cup toward me. The steam rises between us, a thin veil. I reach out and wrap my fingers around the warm porcelain. The door behind me has been shut since I sat down, but only now do I realize the handle doesn't turn from the inside. Chapter 1. The Reasonable Concession. Julian smiles. It isn't a victory smile. It's the weary expression of a man who has done the right thing and is exhausted by his own integrity. "Now that we've cleared the air," he says, his voice dropping into that confidential, conspiratorial register that makes you feel like the only other person in the world, "we have the matter of the internal audit. You see the position I'm in, don't you?" The directors begin to eat. The tension in the room hasn't vanished. It has merely changed shape. It is no longer a blade at my throat. It is a weight on my shoulders. "The audit?" I ask. My voice sounds thin. I take a sip of the tea. It's perfect. It's exactly what I needed to calm the tremors in my hands. "The discrepancy in the offshore filings," Julian says smoothly. He isn't looking at his notes. He's looking at my tie. "Since I've admitted my temperament was the cause of the friction, the board needs to know that the actual paperwork was handled with the usual care. They need to see that we are a united front, that your signature on those documents wasn't a mistake made under duress, but a calculated, professional choice." He slides a single sheet of paper across the linen. It's a retraction. "If I sign it, I'm saying the abuse never happened. I'm saying the misunderstanding was mutual." "It's just a formality, really," one of the directors mutters, not looking up from his sea bass. "Saves everyone the mess of a tribunal. We'd hate for your name to be associated with a different exit, not at your level." Julian's hand remains near the teapot. He is waiting. He has given me the apology I wanted. He has given me the tea I like. Now, he is waiting for the payment. "It's for the best, isn't it?" Julian asks. He isn't threatening me. He is inviting me back into the fold, for the sake of the project, for your reputation. "Let's just put this nastiness behind us." I look at the pen. It's a heavy gold nibbed thing. My hand moves toward it because it is the only polite thing left to do. The gold nib feels heavy, a cold anchor in my hand. I can feel the heat from the director sitting on either side of me, a wall of bespoke rule and quiet expectation. Julian doesn't rush me. He picks up his own cup, the steam obscuring his mouth, but his eyes remain fixed on the spot where the pen touches the paper. "You see," Julian says, his voice a velvet scratch, "this is why I value you. Most men would let pride ruin a perfectly good career, but you, you have the grace to accept a hand when it's extended." I sign. The ink is thick and dark, bleeding slightly into the expensive grain of the paper. As the loop of my eye finishes, the director to my left breathes out a long, slow exhale of relief. The tension doesn't just leave the room, it evaporates, replaced by a sudden, jarring joviality. "Splendid," the director says, clapping a hand onto my shoulder. The weight of his palm is immense. "Back to business as usual, then. No harm, no foul." Julian sets his cup down. The clink is louder this time, more authoritative. He reaches out and takes the paper before the ink is even dry. He folds it once, twice, and tucks it into his breast pocket, patting the fabric flat. It sits right over his heart. "There is one small thing," Julian adds, his tone shifting from remorseful to instructional. "Since we've established that the filings were intentional, the regulators will need a primary point of contact for the previous quarter's adjustments. Since your signature is already the gold standard on those files, I've told them you'd be happy to lead the deposition, alone. My stomach drops. A T feels like lead. Alone? Julian, those adjustments were your directive. I only... You only what? Julian interrupts, his smile remaining perfectly intact, though it no longer reaches his eyes. You just signed a document stating there was no duress, no pressure, no monstrous behavior. We are friends again, aren't we? And friends don't blame each other for professional choices. He stands up, and the rest of the board follows suit in a synchronized rustle of silk. The waiter appears instantly, pulling my chair back just enough to force me to stand. Julian reaches over and adjusts my tie, his knuckles grazing my throat for a fraction of a second. The regulators are in the lounge, Julian whispers, leaning in so close I can smell the Earl Grey on his breath. I've told them you're eager to take full responsibility for the success of the filing. Don't make me out to be a liar after I've been so honest with you. He turns toward the door, the others trailing behind him like a wake. I am left standing by the table, the silver spoon gleaming in the low light, realizing that an apology isn't a gift. It's a receipt for a soul. The lounge is colder than the dining room. It's a space designed for interrogation disguised as comfort. Deep wingback chairs, low amber lighting, and the scent of expensive tobacco that soaked into the wallpaper over decades. Two men in charcoal suits wait by the fireplace. They don't stand when I enter. Julian isn't with me now. He's standing in the doorway, framed by the light of the hallway, a silhouette of a man who has successfully offloaded a tragedy. He has all the details, Julian tells the men, his voice echoing with a hollow, supportive warmth. He's been the architect of our compliance strategy for months. I'm just here to ensure he has the floor. I take the seat opposite the regulators. The leather is cold. One of the men opens a briefcase and pulls out a recording device. He places it on the low table between us. The red light of the record button flickers to life, a small, bleeding eye. Let's start with the March filings, the man says. Mr. Julian says these were your solo initiatives, that the diversion of the capital was your specific recommendation to avoid the excise tax. I look toward the door. Julian is still there, leaning against the frame, buffing his signet ring against his lapel. He catches my gaze and nods, a slow, encouraging gesture that says, "Remember the apology." If I contradict him now, I am the liar. I am the one who accepted a bribe of tea and a hollow sorry to cover up a crime. By accepting his remorse, I validated his version of reality. The March filings, I repeat. My tongue feels heavy, coated in the sweetness of the sugar he gave me. Yes, Julian chimes in from the shadows. Tell them how proud you were of that solution, Ilara. Tell them how you insisted it was the only way. He uses my name like a leash. I look at the recorder. If I speak the truth, I am a disgruntled employee with a signature on a confession. If I lie, I am his shield. The silence stretches, becoming a physical pressure in my ears. Julian's watch glints in the doorway. It was my recommendation, I say. The words are ash. Julian smiles, steps back, and closes the door. The click of the latch is the last thing I hear before the questioning begins in earnest. The apology wasn't the end of the conflict. It was the purchase of my silence.